Meme Lord Monday streams live every Monday on the Meme Lord Monday podcast channel on YouTube. Tune in every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to be part of the live reactions and question and answer time.
Meme Lord Monday.
What is up? What is up, y'all? It's Meme Lord Monday. I'm your host, Matt Matias. We do this every Monday. Thank you so much for tuning in and joining me as I goof off, react to stuff, get your guys' opinion on things. That's what we do, you know? That's what we do. We're live. Real quick, I'm going to do my shout-outs, and then we're going to get going. So, if you like Meme Lord Monday, make sure to share it. I got something on my... Sorry. I got, like, a piece of rice. Dude... Stereotype. I got rice. I'm covered in rice and I'm Hispanic. Super stereotype. All right, come on. Focus, Matt. If you like Meme Lord Monday and you want to support the show, make sure to visit memelordmonday.supercast.com. And on this is basically like a Patreon. You can support this show for as little as $5 a month. And that gives you access to exclusive episodes, monthly coaching with me, where I teach you how to use social media to promote your business. This is just like this podcast is just my fun thing that I do, but I'm actually low-key a social media manager and I manage multiple influencers in the Christian space. And I just do this for the funsies to hang out with you guys and goof off. But if you want to support this show and also get some coaching as well, check out memelordmonday.supercast.com. Also, memesforjesus.com, which is my bigger page. We have over 1 million followers in total across Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. I'm wearing the Sage Anti-Prosperity Gospel shirt, super comf. And the people love it. What can I say? The people love it. They love it. They're like, why is the quality so good? What are you doing, Matt? You're a meme page. The quality is amazing. I had never dreamed of having such quality from a meme page. How'd you do it, Matt? Listen, it's the Lord, okay? He blessed me with fabrics, blessed me with the ability to put the meme stuff on the... Okay, we're done. Okay, I don't know what I'm doing with this bit. Anyways, I love you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. And we're going to talk about a bunch of stuff tonight. Not just the Christian nightclub, I promise. I want to bring it up because a bunch of my friends have talked about this topic online, and it's interesting, and I want to talk about it mostly because, you know, where there's cringe, there go I. I have to address it. I have to talk about it. And I feel like this is one of those cringe topics that we gotta cover it. My boy Jonathan, manage me, Poppy. Oh boy. That's a red alert right there. Sorry if that's super loud. Yeah, my buddy Jonathan, we'll check. I want to actually give him a shout out later. He's doing some amazing things with K-Love. It's so dope. All right, let's get started. I've been referencing this thing for far too long, and I want you guys to get a better grasp of what I'm talking about here. Here we go.
God told us to create a Christian club in Los Angeles, and we have gotten so much backlash, y'all. People told me that I was a Jezebel, told me that I was going to hell, and that I was Satan's child. Honestly, I truly think I found what the underlying issue is. We've been giving way, way, way too much credit to the devil and to the world, to the point where we think of dancing and music and fun, and we associate that with worldly things. That's what the world does. That's sin. Little do you know that God created dancing, God created fun, God created music and fellowship for us to enjoy. The world did not create it. They perverted it and filled it with sinful things, as they always do. A Christian nightclub is actually the original intention of a space like this. We are not copying the world with the club, but we are restoring it back to its original purpose.
Okay, I wanted to just replay this real quick because he said something in the beginning.
To create a Christian club in Los Angeles, and we have gotten so much backlash, y'all.
Okay, I think it's another video that she says it's the first Christian nightclub ever.
No, it's not.
Nope. There's lots of them. They've been around since like the 70s. But I wouldn't necessarily say that they've called themselves nightclubs. There's one where I grew up in Lebanon, Pennsylvania, but they call themselves a restaurant, but they basically effectively act as a quote unquote lounge. And it's run by a church. And they do it in a really cool way. It's called Legends Cafe. I don't even know if they're still in existence. But they would have live music in a restaurant-style area, and then they have a dancing area that you could dance to the live music. And they had Christian bands come in. Sometimes they would allow non-Christian bands to come in and play as long as they agreed to the rules of conduct. But they never labeled themselves as a Christian restaurant. It was a church that started it in the middle of the city, and it ended up being just an outreach for them that was an extension of them. I think that's the right way to do it. I think that's dope. I loved going there as a kid. They would have food. They would have these really cool bands. We would sometimes, like, there was dancing, like goofing off, and they had some lights. It was super chill, though. Now, the term, I think, is where we're getting caught up on here. Christian nightclub. Why? And then the other thing, God told her to do this. No, I mean, but did he do that? Did God really do that? I just want to know. Now, let me just address some of the things that she says here, and then I'm going to get to some of the other reactions that people have had about this, and I want to get into some other thoughts that I have. But I think I'm more put off with her demeanor, with her marketing of it. That's what really concerns me. That's what gives me the cringe. But I mean, she's getting all the publicity in the world. I'm talking about it right now. So, good job on that. So, okay, let her talk a little bit more.
That's what the world does. That's sin. Little do you know that God created dance.
Little do you know. Condescending as crap, bro. Little do you know, God created dancing. Oh, really, honey? Did you have to be condescending? Was it necessary for that, for the condescending tone? Oh, I had no idea God creating dancing. It hadn't even crossed my mind. And then some of the people who are like defending her, they're like, well, David danced. You're not David. All right. You are not David. David was worshiping, like actually worshiping at the altar. Like that's where God's presence literally was at that time period in the Old Testament. So you're not David. You're not in the Old Testament. So stop using David as an example for why you should be getting jiggy with it. I don't mind dancing. Like, I'm keeping it real with you. I don't mind if you're dancing, but don't use bad arguments. That's all I got to say. Okay. I'm going to give you another response from my boy, Honest Youth Pastor. And here we go. Yeah, she said the LA. First nightclub. Right. No.
The very first Christian nightclub here in LA. Right now, Christians have nowhere to have fun. Like, we not going to normal clubs. We not going to bars.
No,
we ain't going to parties.
No, we ain't.
So Christians need a space to turn up in a wholesome environment that allows us to just united for Jesus. Okay. This is the start of a humongous movement. Okay. There will be Christian spaces and on every corner representing fun that we can have without weed, drinks, and other worldly stuff. So right now, this one is coming to LA. Please like and share this post so people from LA can see this and we can turn up. Okay.
Hey, how is it going? It's Ronnie, the Reformed guy here, or Pat the Party Killer, or whatever you want to call me. I don't really care. We do have those places, actually. They're called churches. It's where Christians gather together weekly, even. Also, those places, hopefully, don't have any of the drugs or weed or things that you're talking about, because that would be a terrible church. That church would need a letter. Also, I don't want to ruin this for you, but there's literally a church on almost every corner already. So, like, the buildings are already there. The people are already there. Worshiping God is already there. And there's a whole bunch of people to connect with, usually in small groups, to have fun with. Like, everything you're looking for, like, it's already available. How amazing is that? I'll be honest. What it looks like is attempting to be had here is a Christianized version of all the bad things you did before. And that's not what we're called to do. We're called to go out and disciple the nations, baptizing them and teaching the things that Jesus did. So let's just go do.
Yeah. So my buddy, Honest Youth Pastor, he's basically like, listen, as Christians, if you're looking for a Christian way to have fun, the church should be that. You know, if you're looking for something that is exclusively Christian, then do that. Do that. I love Michael, and I agree with him here. And in his comments, like, and here's the thing, this video that he did blew up, and he's actually going to be talking with this young lady, and I'm really curious on how that conversation is going to go, but I agree. And here's another element that I wanted to bring into it that I feel like Holy Post, I think it's called, with Phil Vischer and Sky Gitani. Sky brings an interesting perspective here that I think is relevant to the topic, because if we're telling people to go to church to have fun, but the data is saying that people are not really going to church, I think there's a lot of things going on here, so just check this out here. Hey, you like clothes, right? I'm pretty sure you're wearing clothes right now. And if you're not, that's okay. If you want to wear clothes, but not just regular clothes, Christian clothes, and also support this podcast, head on over to memesforjesus.com and get yourself some premium, super soft, super cool, and also super funny meme drip. Drip just means clothes, or like your style, your fashion, you know, in case you're over the age of 20. A portion of every purchase goes towards helping foster kids in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Head on over to memesforjesus.com and use promo code MONDAY to get 15% off your order. All right, back to the show.
Americans are...
Come on.
According to the Barna Organization, 1 in 3 Americans are now officially de-churched. That's a lot of people, and you might be one of them. Many people, especially church leaders, are trying to understand why church engagement is declining. And it's easy to blame those who are leaving. People are too self-centered today, or youth sports are taking over Sunday mornings. Christian faith is under attack in the culture. Listen, I'll be the first to admit that there are all kinds of complicated factors here. Heck, I even wrote a whole book about how consumerism is impacting the way our culture thinks about faith. But we can't put all the blame on those who are leaving the church. The Barna Organization has found that the number one reason millennials go to church is to be closer to God.
Yeah, check this out.
But it's also the number one reason they leave the church.
Yeah. So the data showing people go to church, millennials, people my age, people maybe your age, the reason they go to church is because they want to be closer to God. Yeah, good. But it's also the reason they leave the church, because they don't feel like they're encountering God at church. And so one of the things I tackle here in the show is a lot of just fundamentalist thinking. It's quite kind of ironic too, because this is like Nathan Finocchio. One of the guys from Theos University, he commented on his youth pastor's post that he said, people getting mad about the whole nightclub thing is a fundamentalist take on fundamentalism. and I'll get into that. I'm going to wrap it all up like a youth pastor. You know what I'm saying? So, if we're telling people to go to the church, but they're leaving the church because they don't find God there, that's why you find people creating these establishments that have to be labeled Christian, because they feel like they're doing, like, I definitely vibe with the fact that she's doing this with good intentions. Like, God bless her for that. She wants a place where Christians can have fun. That's what her reasoning is. She's showing a desire to disconnect from the world, not dance and not do drugs, not do the things that the quote unquote world is known for doing. And she wants to have a safe environment that Christians can go and have fun at. The problem is we have a place for that, like Michael mentioned, that's called church. And people aren't going to church, so they're doing this. So it's kind of like this like never-ending cycle where it's like we have to create church and we have to create places that resemble what we're missing at church so that we're feeling closer to God in some way, shape, or form. Because like the thing is, she wants to feel closer to God because she doesn't want to sin. And she's trying to tackle like a pain point with her target audience, you know, being maybe Gen Z Christians that want to have fun, going to turn up in the LA area. The thing is, I think the point of being a Christian here is not just making things Christian. You know what I'm saying, guys? Like there's Christian this, there's Christian that. But I don't think putting a label on something necessarily makes it a Christian thing. You know, like a building can't be Christian. This isn't a Christian microphone. I mean, this is a Christian podcast because like I've labeled it exclusively that because this is to my target audience. I'm a Christian meme lord. But I feel like, you know, when it comes to things like doing like everyday things, it doesn't always have to be like, let's make it Christian. I don't think it always needs to be like that. And so that's one thing that I discovered. So I also reacted to this as well. And my boy, Elias Dumaire, for the former lead singer of City Harmonic, he responded, but like, why not just go to the regular club and behave yourself the way you think you should? I love that. I think part of being a Christian is being able to be in this world and not be terrified of it. And while being still on mission to help other people, like, and I think that's what, and that kind of like goes back to God's original intention where he said, you know, be fruitful and multiply to Adam and Eve. I think as Christians, we need to be fruitful and multiply Christianity, but not in like an external way. Like people just want to throw these labels. It's just marketing. That's what it is. I feel like it's just manipulative marketing. It's like, hey guys, it's Christian. Hey, come over here. It's Christian. But then you got, you know, I don't know. It just feels cringe to me. I don't want to be the guy that's like, you guys know I'm a dumb meme lord. So I'm just here ranting and yapping. What do you guys think? Let me get to some of these comments. A meme can't be saved. Yeah. Christian meme. You can't save a meme. It can't. Oh, man. I would take church over any themed nightclub any day. Matt says, like you said, someone did the same thing but called it a lounge and everyone was cool. Yeah, I think the labeling and the semantics of it is what makes it off-putting and out of place for me. I agree more with my buddy Elias, was just like, just live life, you know? Do you need to go to a Christian so-and-so to feel like you're doing the right thing? I get you want a safe place. I get it. But it can, and it can be done right. You're right, Matt. But it just makes me cringe. What are you yapping about? Yeah, and Jonathan brings up a good point. Some churches are already acting like clubs. So there's a thing. Let me get back to Sky Gitani's video because I think it's a super important video to go over about people leaving the church.
Who are leaving the church? The Barna organization has found that the number one reason millennials go to church is to be closer to God. But it's also the number one reason they leave the church. Maybe it's time for the church to just be the church again. Maybe it doesn't have to be a rec center or a shopping mall or even a bowling alley. Maybe people aren't giving up on the church because our culture has moved away from God. Maybe it's because the church has.
So that's what I wanted to, like, that's so good. I think that's it. I think what Sky is saying is right, is on point because the church has not been the church. It's not been the place where you go exclusively to meet with God. You go exclusively because it's all for God. It's turned into nightclubs. It's turned into shopping malls. It's turned into rec centers and community centers, which aren't necessarily a bad thing. But like, the church should be the church. And the church should be where we do Christian things. And I think in the world, you can also do Christian things. But when you put the Christian label on it, it's like, well why? What's the point? Happened something fierce tonight. What do you guys think? I mean, am I overreacting? Am I wrong? I'd love to hear it. Let me get back to Matt, because I think he was the only one who kind of like gave me some pushback here. He says, maybe I'm just a sheltered homeschooler, but I don't see the big deal. I feel like a lot of backlash is in the semantics. Yeah, honestly, I think that's it. I think the semantics of not only saying Christian nightclub, you know, it's like Christian laundromat. Like, okay, why? Why? That's, you know. Good job. Good job, I guess. The nightclub thing, it does, I can tell why it triggers a lot of people too, because it's like there's negative connotations there, and a nightclub is just known for a place where people do naughty things. So it's like, you know, what are you doing? Do you just wanna dance a lot? You just like, is that the only way you can have fun? You know, and I don't want to be a legalist. I don't want to be a fundamentalist with this. Yeah, more cringy than problematic. And I'm willing to admit that. And because I feel like what I mentioned earlier, what Nathan Finocchio said was that this is a fundamentalist critique on fundamentalism, where it's like, who can be more fundamentalist about a strange idea? It's cringy because, like I said, the labeling, which is what a fundamentalist would do. Let's make it Christian. Jaeger. Awesome name, bro. I think we also need to remember that we are the church as Christ's bride. However, we absolutely need to attend our local churches to worship God, get the word, and have fellowship with other Christians. Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, nightclub is just straight cringe. Don't call it cringe. Like, why call it Christian? That's my thing. Anyways, I've been ranting about it like an old man. I called it a Christian. I wanted to bring up my other buddy, Angel, who reacted to this as well. I think he brings up good points. My last reaction to this, and then I'll move on to something else. My buddy Angel, shout out. He said, Christian nightclub. When I was a young Christian, I explored this idea with friends as well. We ran into some obvious problems right away. They don't work. Mostly because creating a counterfeit of a worldly institution, the club scene, in order to evangelize or have community, actually repels people more than attracts people. Christians far smarter than me have tried this and run into the same core issues. I've had a lot of experience with this type of evangelism or community, quote unquote. Trying to save the world by looking like the world has never and will never work. How do you ensure the wholesome vibe? How do you ensure those who are Christian, that those who are going are Christian? How do you keep drugs out? How do you stop people drinking/using before or after? These are logistical nightmares. At the very least, this is unwise. At the most, this is sinful. It's a sin. Instead of seeking to Christianize institutions that this world has created, let's reclaim the institutions that Christ has created. Family, community, discipleship, the table. The table. Based. I think my buddy Angel brings up a good point. It's logistically a nightmare. I think rather than creating Christianized institutions, we should be Christians within the institutions and change from the inside out. That's what Christianity is, you know? It's our hearts getting changed and our lives reflecting that internal change. Like, stop making external thing. Stop trying to slap a label on the top of something and call it Christian and then hoping that the Christian stuff just, you know, oozes into it. That's not how it works. That's not what Christianity teaches. That's not what the Bible teaches. That's not what Jesus does. Jesus, we believe as Christians, changes our hearts from the inside, and we are sanctified through the Holy Spirit's power to live and be better people. That's it. You know what I'm saying? And so, with that in mind, a wise Christian, like me and my wife, I'll go to the club. I'll go to the club with my wife, y'all. Say I won't. Say I won't go to the club with my wife. Say I won't do that. You know why? I got the Holy Spirit with me. Now, the thing is, like, a lot of this requires wisdom, you know? That's why my buddy Elias was like, just go to the club. If you need to dance, just go to the club. If you're a Christian and you need that, if you need to have fun in that way, then just do it. But, you know, represent Christ. I'm pretty sure Jesus did the equivalent of that, because he knew that people needed him, and he just could go wherever the heck he went. He wanted to go, and he didn't have to worry about them infecting him, because he had that, you know, he was Jesus, first of all, but, you know, he was the light in those places. He, God, came down in flesh and was God amongst all of us trashy humans. Jonathan said, you won't. You won't. Oh, man, I'm goofing off with y'all. Okay, let me react to some other stuff. You guys have anything else you want to say? Go ahead and comment. I'll bring it up. I want to react to something else. But before I do, I want to do a little quick segment. I was thinking about this. I just remembered. Speaking of my boy Jonathan, he just did a really dope video called I Listened Nothing But K-Love for a Whole Week. And this is dope. Kudos. This is a super interesting video. If you are a Christian, you listen to Christian radio, or you know about K-Love, look for Jonathan Allen Wright, I Listened to Nothing But K-Love for a Week. This video will blow your mind. And it's so well done, bro. I love it. It was so entertaining to watch. And it's like a gem amongst Christian content, because it's edited well, the storytelling's well. You know, I'm getting into my social media manager mode right now. And, you know, from start to finish, it's amazing. I love it. Check it out. You know, I'm going to do like a segment. I'm going to try and keep a segment where I'm like, stuff Matt likes. This is something I like. Highly recommend it. Check it out. I'll put the link in the bio. I'll do that. my boy Jonathan doing big ting. He doing big ting. Good stuff. Good stuff, bro. Check it out after the show. Kind of hard to be repping Christ when I got Lil Baby blasting through a speaker. And that's the thing, too. Like, listening to secular music isn't going to kill you. And I mean, if you were listening to one of my last podcasts, I did talk about the fact, what's going on here? Sorry. I don't listen to secular music. That's just me. I feel like it has a crazy effect on me mentally. So I just don't do it. I mean, every once in a while I'll listen to something. I like, there's lots of artists that I do like. But some people, they love to dance, and they love the dance scene, and they love the music that comes with it. I don't think it's inherently sinful to go to the club, dance, you know, the night away, if you're being safe and wise. The thing is, what makes it concerning is that these types of environments make it difficult to be wise sometimes, you know? Because, I mean, at least in our culture, I talked about this too. Oh, I just remembered something. In our culture, it's not like a thing that we do. And in America, it's kind of been like we've made these types of things taboo. But in Japan and other countries, there's like these community dance things that they do. I wish I could find the video. Where everybody goes to like a certain area and they dance. Yeah, I'm not gonna do it on here. I was trying to look for it. I don't have it ready. I might do like a video on it. I might create a video on it. But like in our culture, in our immediate culture, we've hypersexualized everything, and the nightclub scene just happens to carry with it a lot of hypersexualization, a lot of drugs and things of that nature. So like I said, you can do those things and still be a Christian, but it might be more unwise because you're putting yourself in not the best environment. I think you can be a Christian. You can shine your light in there. You can. I think you can do that. But I think that's where it gets weird. But like I said, in Japanese cultures, dancing with the community is just part of the culture. And that's dope. It's not condemned. It's not weird at all. This is what people do. Everybody gets dressed up in these really cool, you know, Japanese garments. They're amazing. Or they do these like hand dance. And it's like they have these set dance moves that everybody knows. And it's like, you know, when you go to a wedding and you dance the Macarena or you dance the electric slide, everybody knows the moves and it's dope, you know? All right, I'm ranting. All right. So Mike Winger he's an apologist here on YouTube and he's also on Instagram. I believe he's a Baptist commentator on YouTube and Instagram. And he's got quite the following. But I have a critique of something that he's done here. And I mean, I was talking in one of my many group chats that I'm in about a lot of critiques and issues that I have with Mike Winger. Not just because he isn't a Calvinist and all this other stuff, and I am. This is more just his overall demeanor and his research tactics and he has a good demeanor. Let me correct that. He is a very composed person. He handles himself well. I'm just not a fan of the way he compiles his information and his data and the way that he man said VeggieTales character, I'm dead. Let me just do this here. Okay, first
shred.
This is Richard Dawkins, okay?
Evan. In the case of God, there is not a tiny shred of evidence for the existence of any kind of God.
This is one of my favorite.
Okay, and here's Mike's response. He said this is one of his favorite things to respond.
Things to look at evidentially. One of the puzzle pieces of the prophecy of the Messiah that people miss out on is...
Okay, I'm going to just stop right there. So what he goes on to say, he gives in response to Richard Dawkins saying there's no evidence for God, he gives a messianic prophecy, meaning he says, whoa, well, this says this in the Bible, so therefore God exists. I'm sorry, guys. That's not how this works. I'm sorry. If an atheist says, I don't believe there's any evidence for God's existence, telling them something about Jesus, telling them something about the Bible, that's weak. It's not going to cut it. You know? I got something in my mustache. It's circular logic. Yeah, perfect. Exactly. Jinx, Evan. Proving something that's logically consistent within Christianity does not prove God exists. And I see this a lot. Like, I met my boy Mo on TikTok Live. You know, with I jump on there sometimes with atheists on TikTok, and we talk about God's existence. We do apologetics and stuff. Well, I do apologetics talking to them, and the thing is, like, if you tell an atheist, well, yeah, I mean, God exists because, you know, the Bible does this and Jesus, they're gonna be like, okay, so what? That doesn't prove God exists. That's not evidence for them. That's them. That's you saying, well, look, my book did this and that, you know, the guy in my book, it makes sense, right? And they're going to be like, okay, yeah, I don't care. I still don't think God exists. That is not evidential evidence for God's existence. That's a apologetic for Christianity. You know, I believe Christianity is true, obviously. But to use an apologetic for the Bible or for Jesus is, you know, proof to as you know, what is it? Messianic prophecies, meaning that the Bible is true because this was fulfilled in this way and shows that Jesus is the like, it's, I believe it's what's called like a red herring or non sequitur, meaning it's not even something that it applies to the argument. Richard Dawkins and just about any atheist worth their salt is going to laugh at that objection. So I think that that's a harmful apologetic to teach people, well, you know, you see this in the Bible, because that's not proving God's existence. That's not evidence for God's existence. That's evidence for Christianity. Anyways, I'm repeating myself. What do you guys think? Do you think that's valid? Do you guys understand what I'm saying? What do you think? Yeah, Laser said, let me prove something you don't believe with the thing that you don't believe in. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly the thing. And that's just, like, I don't dislike Mike Winger. I just think that that is like legit harmful. That's not equipping the saints. That's not equipping people to be good apologists for the faith. A better example of, you know, evidence for God, you can make contingency arguments. You can make, Mo's like, which is exactly why I'm agnostic. But like, there's better, you know, you and I, Mo, like, know that there's better evidential arguments for God's existence, and arguments can be evidence. I know a lot of atheists would disagree, but I mean, I think that you can have arguments that are logically sound, that can prove God's existence in different ways, or true, not necessarily prove God's existence, or prove like that he is the highest probability of belief, you know, to hold to. You can have, like, my buddy Than holds to Bayesian epistemology, which basically says that we can predict God's existence through the data that we observe in the world. Like, there's different arguments that I believe are really strong that you can use to argue for God's existence. This is just saying it, you know. Don't use Wager's argument. That's all I got to say about that. And I know we got some viewers that disagree, but I just want to make sure that my viewers know that there is a difference between arguing God's existence and arguing for Christianity. Okay? There you go. All right, now let me respond or react to Hank Green. I love Hank, by the way.
People think, some people think God created the universe. Some people think nothing created the universe.
The joke here is that God might exist, but you know what definitely doesn't exist? Nothing. And that's a funny joke. I like Pete Holmes. I like a lot of his comedy. This is a straw man, though. Scientists don't think that nothing created the universe. Scientists think they don't know what created the universe. No doubt. The fact that the universe exists and that there's stuff in it is very weird. And we don't know why. We don't know why the universe exists. We don't know why stuff is in it. Not a long time ago, it was pretty well understood that probably the universe just always existed. But we have realized, by investigating things, by looking and doing math, that in fact the universe just began. It has a beginning. And that's very strange. But we know it. That's a thing we know. And we know lots of other things. We, like, know how one animal species can turn into several different.
This is a little long. I'm going to play it the whole way through because I love Hank.
Other animal species over time. We know that if you, like, cut things in half enough times, eventually you get to an undividable thing called an atom. But actually that atom is dividable if it's big enough and you could split it because it's made of further subatomic particles like protons and neutrons and electrons, which are further made of particles like quarks. This is all new stuff that we've figured out. And people, I think, sometimes get stuck in the idea that science is like the body of information that we have, but it is not that. It is the process by which we attempt to uncover truth. And the first thing you have to do in that process is to recognize that you might be wrong about stuff, that you don't know, that there are still mysteries. And in fact, the mysteries are like the best part because that's where the discoveries can happen. You can look at those mysteries and think, you know, this is where my higher power still is. That like these things that we don't know now, that's the things that God did. We don't know why the universe exists, so God did that. But the problem with that is that if God did that, then why would we keep looking? And over again, we keep looking and we keep finding answers to questions. And you don't keep looking if you know the answer already.
Okay. I wanted to address that last part because he said the problem with believing in God is that if you know the answers, you won't keep looking for answers. And when you don't believe in God, you need to keep looking for answers. Which, ironically, is a straw man of Christianity. Because, no, there's plenty of Christian scientists who are still searching for answers in the world because they love God's creation and they're trying to find God in his creation. That is a straw man of Christianity, my buddy, my brother Hank. Saying that believing in God makes it so that you have all the answers is not what Christianity teaches. Christianity teaches God made everything. As I mentioned earlier, go into the world and multiply. Bear God's, spread the good news, spread the gospel, basically. Go into the world and baptize everyone. That's Christianity. Beyond that, you cannot assert for Christianity that we don't have to look into the universe. Did you know the Big Bang Theory? Like, he quoted the Big Bang Theory and as a fact, which was made by a Catholic dude. Hank, what are you doing, bro? I love Hank. Hank is incredibly intelligent, very well informed. Like, you could ask him up just about anything, and he has an encyclopedia brain. So, yeah, Hank, like, what are you doing, bro? Believing in a God, believing in theism, which says that there was, an all-powerful God that created the universe and everything that's in it, doesn't necessarily entail that we have all the answers or we don't need to look for them, or that we, I think what's happened here is Hank has encountered Christians that behave that way, which there definitely are. I hope none of the, listeners or viewers of this podcast have interacted with atheists in that way. It's like, well, we know how the universe works. We know, what we do know and what we can have, good certainty on is God's goodness and his faithfulness towards us and his love towards us. I think that's probably the most certain thing we can have as Christians. Other than that, there's not really a lot of certainty that we can assert over the world that we live in. Hank is gravely mistaken with his assessment of Christianity with what he said. I believe the joke that he was responding to probably was a straw man of what agnostic atheists believe, that they believe that nothing created the world. Yeah, they don't. I don't think I've heard an atheist say that before. If anything, it's crazy that I think it's more concerning that the agnostic atheists affirm that the universe had a beginning, because they have to adhere to some type of first mover or, first initial cause of the universe. And you have guys like Graham Oppie, who have asserted something called a singularity theory, meaning that he believes that there was a singularity from that basically was the first cause of the universe or sustains the universe. And it sounds very similar to God, but he's like, no, it's not God. It's, it's just a thing that keeps everything together, like God, but it's not. It's not God. And, I'm like, well, why wouldn't you just take the couple extra steps? I don't know. He's way smarter than me and smarter than I will ever be. And I'll have a lot of atheist friends that will explain how that works. I just feel like it doesn't have as much explanatory power as saying that there is a mind that was the initial cause of the universe. Like, if you're going to believe that the universe had an initial cause, okay, which is what the Big Bang asserts, and I mean, it's not all atheists, agnostic atheists affirm that to their credit, but the ones that do, that's what Graham Oppie is kind of showing, that you have to come to some type of conclusion that something created the universe. Now, whether you call that the singularity, whether you call that, what have you, some people call it the quantum field, the quantum matrix, the quantum structure. I don't know. Some weirdo the other day tried to assert that, but it wasn't making any sense. I think, it's because then you have to account for value. You have to account for all sorts of different things. You have to account for suffering. You have to account for all sorts of other things that aren't really explained well on naturalism. And so, that's one of the reasons I am a Christian now, because I feel like Christianity has stronger explanatory power. It's higher probability. And I believe that not only that, I have had experience, God. I've experienced. I've had, dang it. I'm operating like 2 hours of sleep. I don't have words. When you have the experience, I don't know the word. A bloomer moment. Okay, that's my cue to get out of here. But yeah, guys, that's the show. I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you want to support the show, go to memelordmonday.supercast.com. By the way, my buddy John, who is watching, Jonathan Wright, he created the Meme Lord Monday, like the initial logo that I have. Check out his show. Anyways, if you want to support Meme Lord Monday, the show, you can go to memelordmonday.supercast.com for as little as $5 a month and get access to all sorts of goodies. And yeah, that's the show. I love you guys. Thanks, Matt. Have a good night. Appreciate you. Hey, have fun with those finals, homie Laser. All right. I'm out of here.